And welcome back. Good morning, everyone. Day two of the South Dakota Game Fish and Parks Commission meeting. We're coming to you from the NFAA Easton Yankton Archery Center in beautiful Yankton, South Dakota. Yesterday, we had a very good, productive day, and we're going to continue this morning with informational items. The first one up, 17 Pickerel Lake Cabin Staff Construction Project. Yes, hello, welcome, sir.
Madam Chairwoman, Commissioner, Secretary Rowling, Willie Collignon with the Regional Supervisor out of the Northeast here out of Watertown. And I'm going to talk to you a bit about today modern cabins in our parks and a little experience we had here over this last year. So I'm going to try it. I'll use this.
I'm sharing the screen.
We got it. Modern cabin. So what is a modern cabin? For us, this modern cabin is basically designed around a two-bedroom concept, kitchen, bathroom, living room, moderately set up for dishes and silverware, those kinds of things. No bedding, just similar as our camping cabins setups. But here's just a miscellaneous pictures from around the state. We got the top right there's Mina recreation area. We got Spring Creek down below, got Newton Hills, new one that came on a couple years ago. We got Roy Lake on the left side there. Is that still your left? Yes. Okay. And then the dishes down, a picture of kind of how those things are stocked there over at Spring Creek. So, Pickerel Lake. For those of you that aren't familiar with Pickerel Lake, beautiful little lake, about 955 acres, highly recreational. As you look at the map here of it, this is the primary focus is at West Campground. The white areas, it's just one of those glacial lakes that is just treed and houses all the way around the thing. So just there's a lot of people there. It's a very busy lake. It's over 30 feet deep, nice crystal clear waters. It's a nice, nice lake. It is also a good fishery. I don't know if that gets out very much out there, and they're probably going, hey, shh. But it's been known to catch some good fish. Kind of on this map here down below, as it fades in, you can see there's an east side as well. So it's got two units, one on each side of the lake. Between the two units, there's 72 campsites, 7 camping cabins. Each side has a swimming beach. There's picnic shelter, hiking trails, boat ramps, fish cling station, all those kinds of features. So the challenge that we had with this one and kind of why we're visiting about it today, we'd built the Newton Hills one, and then we kind of had the Spring Creek and Roy Lake kind of came about, and we were adding those and starting to learn more about these modern cabins and facilities. And we had an idea from Newton Hills that we were supposed to be around that $150,000 mark for putting one of these structures on the ground. Well, Pickerel run into a couple other things with some site stuff. Local sanitary district wouldn't allow a drain field, and so we had to put in a lift station. And so some of these things we're kind of trying to debate back and forth, like what's reasonable. You know, we're trying to take into account fair rate of return and investment for these. Estimates were coming in high, and so we decided to just kind of hit pause and let's see where we could go. Well, bad time to hit pause, right? COVID hits. We all took a pause on all sorts of things during that time period. After COVID, we all know prices skyrocketed, right? Construction materials, all those kinds of things. So we were getting estimates back in the $300,000 range to build this same structure, almost double in price over a couple years. We're like, yeah, we can't afford to build something like that and get money back out of it, right? That's just kind of irresponsible. So we looked at alternative means of construction, ready-built style, stick build on side, talk to friends and family and try and get someone to give a good price. And we just really couldn't get there. We started changing designs. We make it smaller. Do we make it less size? Well, it really wasn't becoming what we had wanted for a look and a feel for in our parks. We went down to the prison. They build a lot of our welcome centers and all of our camping cabin structures and down at Springfield there. And they accepted it first. And then after a while, turned it back. Oddly enough, the penitentiary didn't have enough skilled labor to build one of these, they thought. So they turned it back to us. So there we were kind of sitting there. And so kind of that next thing is, where do we go from here? Well, picture here is of Mark Crawford. He's my building maintenance specialist out of Watertown. And Mark come from us a couple years ago. He moved from Washington State, picked Clark, South Dakota. He's going to move across the country and go to Clark. Him and his wife love it there. Their kids have gone off to school, and so they were looking to do something different. Well, Mark had run his own construction company for over 30 years, built homes, built commercial properties, sold that business, and then for the last 3 years in Washington, he was electrical inspector, a building inspector for the local county that he was living in. So obviously well-qualified individual. He approached me one day after a meeting when we were talking about what to do with these things a bit, and he's like, "Willie, I can do this. That's what I've done for my whole life. Like we can do this in house." And I was like, "Okay, well, I'm assuming you can't do this by yourself, right?" And so went to my region, we sat down in a meeting, said, "Hey, if we're going to do this, Mark's going to need help, right? We're going to need our own crew. He might be 0, 1, 2 big project days. Might need 6 or 8 folks. Can we all commit?" To building this. Well, and so I think the commission overall, you've heard us talk about RTEC. That's a training opportunity right here in Yankton that we've been sending folks to for a number of years, right? Kind of a level 1 entry, a level 2, and then we've done these projects like Mark helped lead at Spring Creek here 2 years ago now. And so between that, staff having some confidence in their construction ability and their trades and with Mark's experience and knowledge there, they agreed. They're like, "Yeah, we'll be there for you. We'll take this on as a region. When Mark needs help, he'll put out a request and we'll have to answer that call," right? And so that's the way we move forward. So here's just a little bit of where we were at. So this is what a modern cabin kind of looks like in plans, right? This is generally a 24 by 34 building. You can see there are 2 bedrooms, bathrooms, kitchen. You see by the labels, obviously ADA and accessibility played a large role in how we were designing and going to build this. Living area and that. And you can see here by the date timeline down here in the bottom, we started in October. And if you know anything about northern, northeast South Dakota, our winters are longer than everybody else's, right? So we're like, "Whew, man, if we're going to do this, we got to get trucking." So, getting started. In October, you can see us here. We dug holes, did site plans, laid out the foundation, took advantage of another one of my individuals. I have a park maintenance foreman out of Watertown, Wyatt Jones, who came to us with about 10, 12 years of construction concrete foreman from the private sector. So, again, adding some of those qualities, those knowledges from staff around my region. And sort of got the foundation in place. Next, we moved into raising the walls of the foundation, and we decided to pour those all in place. You can see here we're bringing in foam block construction and forms for that for those walls, and those foam construction blocks stayed in place. Right, so we're taking into account some things, efficiencies, future heating, and protection of the facility. We're taking into account all the way through this project. I was there that day helping, and this was my first day running a pumper truck. So that was actually pretty awesome as well. Just having Mark there and understanding, like, this is how we're going to do this. We're going to go in so many rings around, and we rigged up, like, vibrating, oscillating hand tools to use on the outside of those forms to bring the air up to those. Very awesome. I think it took longer for that pumper truck to set up than it took for us to pour that around. We had about 8 guys there that day. So how do we start protecting that foundation? We went around. Obviously, we've got weather sealed for moisture on the outside of that foam. We've got peat rock on the P-rock on the outside of the foundation there to help with drainage and round and protect the structure. But we started our way on framing. There's the floors are going in, so it's still in October. And actually about 4 days after this picture was taken, dropped to like 20 below. And so we took a little pause for a couple weeks there. And we were hoping winter didn't fully set in. And so here, by the time we got to December, this is the building is up and sheeted for winter. So in that main time there between the end of October and getting to December, we've completely enveloped, sealed the whole building, the structure, all the roofing is in place and sealed. The shingles are done. The outside of the building's been sheeted and sealed up. So actually, when you start to heat the building inside for workers. So by January, we were inside. We started to put in windows and pop those holes in the outside, do the rough in plumbing. We did hire out the electrician and HVAC. Obviously, we don't have the employees to do that on staff. But we started to go on the inside, and that's starting to work on insulation. And so we've got, Mark brought in things like mineral wool insulation. I don't know if anyone's worked with that, but it's super dense and kind of heavy materials. And so those are all in the walls. And then he had figured out enough where you can split it. And then we actually insulated all of the inside interior, like around the bathroom, around the bedrooms, right? This is kind of a smaller facility, and so a little soundproofing was going to be nice. And so that was another nice feature he thought of ahead of time. So winter actually continued to give us some windows of opportunity. We're going to come in, and we got the building all sided, all trimmed out. See that kind of got the park colors there with their... They're kind of a darker brown, and they've got the luscious moss for a color that they use for a lot of their trim work at Pickerel. So keeping with the theme of their whole park. To me, it's super cool from the outside on these. The decision was made to go from windows in the front to do a double slider door. We added the gable end windows into that vaulted section there. Just to all, I mean, we're at the lake, right? We want the look and feel of all the lake houses. I want our guests to feel that same thing, right? Sitting on above the lake, looking out, create that experience. So we've got that. We've got a little more bout of winter came in, so we were able to get inside. Things like we did all the painting ourselves, all the texturing, all the sheetrock, taping, texturing, get that in, get all the fixtures in, starting putting in all the switches and lights and the showers and the flooring here. The flooring is a little bit interesting thing that I've never worked with before. This is a little bit thicker material. It's really kind of it's a heavy vinyl plank. It's almost like a quarter to 3/8 inch thick, and not just the smaller stuff, hopefully for a longer, it's got like a 50-year lifespan on that, which these are public facilities, right? They're going to be used probably a little harder than your home, right? All right, so cabinets and millwork. This is also kind of an interesting thing that came about that Mark came up with. We were getting bids back, and of course he'd get bids back, and we'd sit down, we'd talk about the materials, and we were really trying to take into account efficiencies and qualities and things like that, and price, right? We're trying to hit a price. And man, he was getting like the millwork and doors and cabinets, and these were all separate bids, and he was getting really expensive bids from custom cabinet maker. But when he got to the millwork and doors, like we couldn't even get Menards to give us decent doors for a decent price. And so he just like, well, I'm combining them. Well, I'll just combine the bid then, and we get the bids. And so the bid, this has fully custom cabinets, and you'll see all the doors in there. The doors are handmade. All the trim, the baseboard, the trim around the doors is all comes from the same guy. He custom made the whole thing. And that actually came in cheaper than we were getting from any of our other lumber yards around. So, again, kind of a nice idea. Like, okay, I would have never even thought of trying to go to a custom guy to get some of the stuff done. The reality is his cabinets are really high quality and a little more expensive than everybody else. But his ability to do doors and trim work and everything else and stain them all exactly the same together all came out cheaper than we could get locally at the big box shop. So. Again, ADA accessibility, you see there in the middle, there's you see the white hole in there, that's, we left that open, wheel in for wheelchairs type things, toe kick and knee accessibility for wheel in. You'll notice the kind of the hole in the cabinet there. Other things with accessibility, in my house we have a microwave hood. Well, we can't do that in a chair in a facility that needs to be accessible because they can't reach that high, right? And so we also don't have a whole lot of countertop space. And so we had the custom guy build us a place for the microwave. So so the microwave can go down at a lower level and be accessible and not eat away from the little short countertop space that's available. So, moving into kind of finishing out the kitchen, bathroom facilities, again, high attention to accessibility there. You see grab bars, fold-down seats, wheel-in shower facility. Even things like in the kitchen, most things people don't think about. You know, the stove has all of the dials and things are at the front, right? We have to have it in the front because we don't want folks with reach requirements reaching across hot surfaces over the stove, right? So we move those to the front. I don't know if you even noticed or not, but the refrigerator is a different style, right? That's a really big freezer. I'm like, why do we need a freezer that big? Well, that lowers the freezer down into a reachable space from someone from a wheelchair as well. So accessibility throughout the whole facility. So in May, so that's getting pretty close, right? That's just this last month. Finally, we got the furniture moved in. You can see we got TV. The staff at Pickerel even built their own bunk beds to match in with the facility. I'll give Al Nedved the nod on the broom closet there. Kind of a funny little story. We're at an operations meeting up there, and we walked through, and I'll take Al like 5 seconds to go, so where do you keep your brooms and your cleaning supplies? And Mark's like, oh, dang it. And so we went back to the custom guy and said, can I have a 4-inch wide place? I need a cabinet I can put brooms in to make Al Nedved happy. And so no problem, couple hundred bucks. Here's a broom closet to make Al happy. So thanks, Al. So where are we at? So we opened up. We actually made the decision back at the beginning of March to open it up for reservations. We felt good with the timeline. Things were looking good. We were going to open it up for May 17th, which corresponds with our opening house weekend. So as of when I was putting this together, we already had 70 nights reserved for this summer. That results in about $11,000 worth of revenue. Average stay thus far has been 2.8 nights per reservation. So we feel really good about that. The goal for this facility has been 125 nights. This is where I'd like to have all of my modern facilities, right? The modern cabins, the suites. We're pushing for this 125. So we've taken that into account with the $150 a night. We run that estimated about closer to $19,000 a year in revenue, which our budget on this, I was pushing for 180. We ended up at 188. Which, if any of you have run a construction project lately, $8,000 over budget on a project this size is pretty great. And so obviously we've met our 10-year, we had a 10-year return on investment goal, and I think we're going to get there. We won't have 125 this year. I mean, we just opened in May, right? But for sure by the time we get to next year, that's where we want to be. So help from across the region, right? And so this was a big teamwork effort. We had help come up with Mark from all five of my districts. We had over 700 hours of assistance between 14 different, we call them guest apprentices, come up in, you know, we could call them minions or mini-me's, or we're going to go with apprentices for this one. You can see we've got folks there from Roy Lake. We've got the staff you can see there, Richmond Lake, Hartford Beach, Pelican Lake. I'll throw out more. Wyatt Jones was a very, very helpful and is getting this thing all set up right and foundation work and pouring concrete at the end of this to make everything come together. We've had Ponset, Oakwood, Thompson, Herman. They all sent folks. And this list of staff is from park managers to conservation techs to maintenance foremen. There's seasonal employees in here. It's just everybody coming in from all over the region to help out. I'd be a little amiss if I didn't. You know, we've got local staff there at Pickerel that totally championed the project, right? Help us help Mark get bids, put in the purchase orders, come in and do dirt work, and help work with the local utilities folks for the electricity, sanitary district connections. John Christensen is a park manager there. Steve Kurkowski is a foreman at that park. And then Al and Glenn, I apologize, I'm not going to say their last names. Al's last name always gets me. So, but these guys they put in a lot of work, right? So the 700 hours and 1,400 people is not the staff that was right there at Pickerel. We just kind of expected they would help, right? So what all did we learn? We kind of made this project like this advanced Artek style thing, right? Like you just didn't go and Mark says, go move this nail and pick up that hammer. It was, okay, this is how we're doing this. This is why we're choosing blow-in insulation for the ceiling, and we're doing mineral wool on the walls. And this is why we're, you know, ordering these quantities to, so we can have some of these leftover materials for other sides, for soundproofing. And like even things like when you saw the foundation coming together with the foam boards, like we used wood to tie that together. Well, that wood came off after it was done and then went right into the subfloor framing. And so we talked about waste and efficiencies and materials and how we plan a project through when we do these things. So my staff learned all these things, right? Excavation, concrete work, framing, insulation, windows, door insulation, roofing, flooring, sheetrock, painting, the tape and texturing of walls, finished trim, and keeping all of these things in mind as we went through this whole project. So it was, we're going to be very proud of this as we went along. I'll let you play this. So this is a little video here. You can see this is a touch of Mark, right? He's like, oh, I'm going to get a stencil made. We're going to etch in Game Fish and Parks logo and the name of Pickerel right on the sidewalk as you enter the cabin. So interesting on this picture is we took time and effort to move utilities and get them all out of view. Typically, we build things in the back, right? When you build something at the lake, the front faces the lake and the back of the house is at the parking lot. Well, we didn't want propane tank. We didn't want all the electrical boxes and phone boxes and things that go in the back of the house. We moved them over to the side, out of view. The gas grill is plumbed in, hard lined to the propane tank for the rest of the building. Concrete patio, fire ring overlooking the lake. It looks like there's a, like, holy smokes, that's a long ways down. As you can see, the grass kind of going off there, it's not as steep as when you get on there, but it just offers this great, like, kind of like an infinity pool style look, right? Like you're off of there, you're sitting there, looking out the cabin, just right enjoying the lake as you sit there. So we're off and running with that. Obviously, by now, they've had the plants in there. We've had a couple people stay. Staff's learning how to take care of the facility now. So all good and off and running. If there's any questions with that, I'd be glad to answer.
Very good. Any questions from any of the commissioners or comments? I do have one question. So far, the folks that are that have stayed there, any idea? Are they local folks, South Dakotans, non-residents? Where are they coming from?
Oddly, Madam Chair, I did actually look at that for kind of a even just a resident versus non-resident kind of aspect, like who's catching these, and it's the same layout as the rest of the park there. It's they're just shy of 80-20. 80% residents. I didn't really boil it down to where they were all going, but you know, we did keep a lot of contact with the social media and try and keep a little bit of hype going on this project all the way through. So.
And then my other question, I guess kind of a comment first, is I'm continually impressed with the stories that we hear from the department and the skills that so many staff across the state have been able to gain and then utilize to not only save dollars and be more efficient as we create more amenities for our users, but in the end it benefits the users because we're saving dollars. So then my question is, with this project, do we foresee some type of model moving forward so other parks and departments can start to move in this direction?
Madam Chair, awesome question. I would love to think so. Obviously, Mark has had these on like his third career, right? And so us having the ability to recruit staff of this nature, it doesn't always, the stars don't always line up, right? And so I think we've been really lucky and done a great job at recognizing when we can utilize staff to get ahead of the game, so to speak.
Any other comments? Commissioner Locken.
Commissioner Locken here. How did the money work out? What'd you find out for the cost? Do you know yet?
Through the chair. Yes, yeah, $188,000. So we were $8,000 over our budget when we started moving dirt. So. What's that?
If we contracted it, what would the
They range from about $250,000 to $300,000 if we were to try and contract that out.
Yeah. Secretary Rumbling.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning. Ooh, that's loud this morning. Willie, great project. It's incredible the work we can do as a team. And to answer, you know, the commissioner's question, absolutely. We are looking in-house to do more of this type of work, not just on the park side, but also the wildlife side. We have an incredible amount of professionals that have, you know, very refined skills in certain areas, and we're going to utilize those skills to the best of our abilities. So especially when, you know, the price of everything continues to increase, this is kind of a new model for us, and I see us utilizing this model here moving forward for sure. So thank you for the question, and thank you, Willie, for the presentation.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Job well done.